It is Friday, June 15th, 2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the lineup for Studio A and Studio B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. RBN has listened to its listeners. Therefore, beginning on Monday, June 18th, I will be going back to Studio A in the same time slot, and Michael Rivero's program will also air in Studio A from 1 to 4 p.m. on that Central Standard Time. To see the guest schedule for this program, please visit the radio schedule page at spingola.com. You may see a list of the guests together with links to their websites and other interesting links, often to things that we have talked about on the program. I also have an email list that one may join to receive a weekly announcement of the scheduled guests and any other special announcements. I have linked it to today's date. For questions or comments during the program, please email spingola1 at yahoo.com. I will be hosting a debate on the Holocaust on Friday, June 22nd, between Friedrich Paul Berg and Roberto Muhlenkamp. If the listeners wish to submit some questions, please email them to me before that debate and mail those to Deanna at spingola.com. If you'd like to call into the program, we will accept calls in the second hour after the first break at 877-488-5350. My guest today is Vicki Davis. Her website is channelingreality.com. That is channelingreality.com. Welcome to the program, Vicki.
Hi, Deanna. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been quite some time since we spoke.
Yeah, it sure has.
Well, we've emailed back and forth, but certainly you haven't been on the program for a while. Time just flies by, and so many things occur, and you've been writing a lot of articles. Your website has all kinds of very, very interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you working on currently?
Well, basically what I've always tried to work on, which is to describe the reinvention of government and the IT systems that constitute the redesign. And because computer systems are in the background, you don't see them. All you do is interact with the effects of them. My objective has always been to try and get people to see these systems, because on every single front that I know of where we as activists are fighting to retain our system of government, behind all of that is an IT system. And if you talk about healthcare, the education system, transportation, the agriculture and the farm programs, you know, animal tracking, all of that stuff, those are all IT systems. And as I was watching a program this morning, it was about healthcare reform, and everything that they were talking about had to do with, you know, the nationalized medical records. They didn't use that term, but it was all about the IT systems. The thought occurred to me, the way to explain this is that what healthcare reform is that our Congress has helped the IT industry facilitate a coup d'etat on the medical profession.
All righty. Hold that thought. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, KRBN listeners. By now, most of you have started stocking up on gold and silver to get you through the upcoming economic crisis, and that's good. You're ahead of the crowd. But when the dollar finally fails, as every paper currency in the history of the world has failed, and silver and gold prices are worth hundreds or even tens of thousands of dollars an ounce, do you really expect to be able to easily trade them for basic essentials? With precious metals prices soaring, now may be the time to take a look at copper. For thousands of years, copper was used daily for bartering in the marketplace, and we're guessing we'll need it again, and very soon. Visit AOCScopper.com, the nation's largest private producer of copper medallions, and browse our huge selection. Stock up now while you still have time. That's AOCScopper.com, and use promo code RBN to receive free shipping. Don't get stuck without a practical way to trade. Visit AOCScopper.com and get prepared today.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Vicki Davis. Her website is channelingreality.com. And Vicki, you said that right before we went to the break that Congress had implemented a coup d'etat on America's medical system.
Well, they facilitated an IT industry coup d'etat on the healthcare profession, on the medical profession. And so, you know, the healthcare reforms that they're implementing, you know, the nationalized medical records database, the health data exchange system that creates they call it a market, but it's a logical market, rather like eBay, market between health insurance providers and patients. All of that is centered around IT systems. The patient is secondary to the systems that are being implemented. And you can only really call that a coup d'etat. I don't know why it didn't occur to me to say that before. But, you know, in the old system, the old healthcare system, the two primary parties in it were the doctor and the patient. That was the healthcare system, and everything else was peripheral to that. In the new healthcare system, it's the IT systems that are at the center. The patients and the doctors are on the periphery of the system. So it really turns out to be a coup d'etat. And you can say the same thing about the healthcare system. Same thing, the smart grid represents the same thing over our utilities. It is a IT industry takeover of the utility business because they will be controlling and directing power. And so I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Right. Now, your experience was with IT systems, and that's why you are so interested in them. That is why you could conceive or perceive what was going on, correct?
Yes. That's what I did. I designed and wrote computer systems for corporations, and those were large-scale systems, but it really doesn't matter in terms of the fact that they were large-scale systems, because most people now think in terms of PCs, but behind the PC, there are large-scale computer systems. So the PC, for most people, just represents a portal into what is a much, much larger computer system.
Do you see this, the PCs, and the availability of consumers being able to purchase PCs as part of this government integration so that, you know, we see them as a great, great benefit. But is it a benefit that has a lot of awful things that go along with it?
Well, I think initially they were perceived as a benefit, and they do provide a benefit. But technology is always dual use. And at the point when the government partnered up with the IT industry to redesign the systems of government, that's where we really went off the rails. Because what you're talking about is a fascist system of management. I mean, big computer systems are designed to manage the process. Whatever entities are involved in the process, the computer system is designed to manage those entities. Well, when you're talking about government systems, the entities are us. And it's not just 8 hours a day that we're working for a corporation that we're being managed. It's 24/7 for an entire lifetime that people will be managed by these fascist IT systems of government.
Hmm.
Yeah, scary thought, isn't it? Sorry, but I mean, you know, that's why I say channeling reality.
Yes, indeed. Now, before we get further into this, tell us just a little bit about your smart meter situation and how that's progressing.
Well, the smart meter, what happened with the smart meter thing is that the power company stopped by my house one day and wanted to install the smart meter. And I said no. After exchanges of letters, they showed up at my door one day with the deputy sheriff to say, we're going to install the smart meter. And so they did, and I filed a complaint with the Idaho Public Utilities Commission. And I filed my complaint. They opened a case for it. They asked Idaho Power to respond to the complaint, which they did. I then responded to Idaho Power's their response. And then the Idaho Public Utilities Commission just dismissed the case altogether as having no foundation or no credible evidence, which was flatly not true. Okay. Now, my next step would have been to go to the Idaho Supreme Court, and initially I intended to do that. But after I thought about it for a while, I decided not to do that. And the reason why I decided not to do that is because the Idaho Public Utilities Commission and Idaho Power completely ignored absolutely everything I said. Okay, so I'm not a lawyer, and so, you know, they picked it apart on the technicalities of how I filed my response. What I decided that they would probably do in the Supreme Court is the same kinds of things. And so I didn't want a precedent set based on my poorly prepared legal presentation. So what I decided to do is just to drop it and hope that at some time some lawyer out there, I can't even say it. I'm just censoring what I have to say about lawyers. But some attorney out there would pick up the case when they realize what a threat to civil liberties that system is, and that they will take it to the Supreme Court. So I didn't want any precedents set based on what I do.
Right. So do you still have a smart meter in your home?
Yeah, it's there. I'm living with it. I mean, there's nothing really that I can do about it other than to file the case with the Supreme Court. And I just feel like it's just better for me to not do that and wait until a competent attorney can file a complaint and then appeal to the Supreme Court.
You know, the fact that a deputy sheriff accompanied the power company installer indicates the complicity of corporations and governments, both locally and federally. I mean, this is amazing.
There's a lot of money at stake, a lot of power involved, not electrical power, but I mean political power. If you understand that the smart grid is really an IT system overlay on the electric grid, and that their objective is to manage your use of power, giving you a small allocation, because they're planning on everybody having electrical cars, and so they're building charging stations. But because of Agenda 21, where we're not supposed to use any more resources ever, they're anticipating that we won't be able to generate any more electrical power because we can't build any dams, we can't build any nuclear power facilities, they don't want coal. I mean, all of the ways that we produce energy, they don't want any more of that. So somehow they're planning on being able to transform our transportation system into total electric while at the same time still providing the same amount of power, you know, for our homes and businesses and everything else. Well, it's not really feasible. Not at all.
Exactly. I mean, how are you supposed to get this electricity without some other source to produce it? I mean, either water or coal or something. Do you think that the nuclear problem in Fukushima has something to do with them wanting to as a demonstration to show how dangerous they are and why they shouldn't be building nuclear plants?
Yeah, I do. I think the movement, whoever is behind this whole Agenda 21 thing, we could debate who that is, but I do think it was a demonstration project. This is what's going to happen to you. I mean, these people are serious, and it's my opinion that they're psychopathic. In Oklahoma, they just passed a law having to do with water. This law says that they won't be allowed to use any more water in 2060 than they are using this year, in 2012. And
well,
that
Vicki, hold on to that thought. We do have to go to a quick break. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Vicki Davis. Her website is channelingreality.com. And pick up where you left off. You were talking about the water situation that we are not going to be using in the year, what was it, 2050 or 2060?
2060, yeah. The Oklahoma law calls for from this point forward, conserving water so that by 2060 we are using no more water. I don't live in Oklahoma, but they are using no more water than they are this year. Now, and that includes population growth and everything else. So,
do they actually anticipate population growth given that there's a government policy to limit population?
Well, that's the interesting thing. The policy to limit population is domestic population, but they're continuing to allow immigration into this country, from all over the world. We've got the H-1B visas, the EB-5 visas that they're handing out. I mean, just all these visas. There are about over 70 different visa programs that people can enter into this country.
Right.
And so what they're doing is they're using immigration as economic stimulus. But the agenda for depopulation is occurring in a different area. So you don't really see that, but I mean the using the, you don't have to be a math major to figure out that if by 2060 your population continues to grow, you have economic development, you would need a lot more water to maintain the current standard of living. So something has to give, right?
Right. Now, do you think that the immigration, in order to make this a multicultural society, do you think that immigration compensates for the 56 million people who have been killed via abortion in this country?
I don't know how to answer that.
I mean, it's just an interesting thought.
Yeah, I suppose you could think of that. I mean, it's. I think it has been the game plan since the 1960s to change the demographics of the United States, more multicultural, and I think it's because the ultimate game plan, as I've seen it, by the global elite, if you want to call them that, is to have regional management zones. And essentially, they did it basically on continental boundaries, but that's not entirely accurate because in Australia, you know, there's all those Pacific islands, and so they're in an area they call Oceania. But essentially, that's the idea, is continental regional management zones. Erasing, for our country, that means erasing our borders with Canada and Mexico and creating an integrated whole that they call free trade area of the Americas. But you can't have, if you don't have borders, you don't have a country. And if you have integrated systems of government, then you have integrated government, you have a common market, you have a North American Union. And, you know, they can deny it all they want to, but, I mean, it just is what it is.
It's a de facto North American Union, basically, that was planned and implemented in, when, March of 2005, and basically, it's already in place. They just simply have not formalized it. They have not officially announced it. And I think that you can just kind of see that is what is happening.
Yeah. And just recently on the radio, you know, yesterday and the day before, some people are actually beginning to talk about breaking up the United States into differing structures, okay, rather than the 50-state structure. Now, they didn't say this, but I know this is the game plan because of something called the PNWER, Pacific Northwest Economic Region, that Idaho is participating in. It is a regional structure that includes Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and the three Canadian provinces that are right above us. And that is a region. And it's encoded into Idaho law, by the way, that Idaho is participating in that. But I think, you know, that is the idea, because in order to move to a global governance structure, which is basically controlled by IT system coordination, they then have to break down your existing political structures and jurisdictions. And the way that they are doing that is through regionalization. And the PNW... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do have to take a break, but does this have to do with the FEMA regions? We will be right back in 3 minutes, and then we'll pick this up.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Vicki Davis. Her website is channelingreality.com. And I mentioned something about the FEMA regions, the 10 FEMA regions, right before we went to the break. And also just a quick email from Rick, and he signs himself Uncle Rick, U-N-K-L-E, Uncle Rick, who is a regular listener. And he says, and I quote, "The White House will halt the deportation of as many as 800,000 young illegal immigrants and in some cases give them work permits in a sweeping new initiative announced by the Department of Homeland Security," unquote.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's 800,000 more young people. And maybe that answers the question that you asked, you know, is a replacement for the 50 million babies that were aborted.
Yes.
Sad thought. Anyway,
yes.
Okay, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, those zones are management areas, and the concept is the same. The difference, of course, is only that they are broken up into they serve a functional purpose in the system. They handle emergencies, supposedly federal emergency disaster planning and whatever. And so their zones are management zones. for their organizational structure. But the concept...
They sure haven't done a very good job in some of those disasters. In fact, they seem to have created further disasters.
Well, I think the whole purpose of our government agencies has changed. And if you think about it, if they have more disasters, creates more need for more IT systems, more money to be spent, right? Because it's all about establishing management systems. And when they fail, they need more money, to have more control. So it's kind of a cycle of implementation of what we perceive as the police state, what they perceive as tighter controls on management.
Right. And they always use a crisis in order to move us further or closer to their objectives.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's kind of what got me started on my latest research, was that Charlotte Israelbite sent out an email that had a letter from a guy named William Garvey to President Ronald Reagan about privatization and requesting that he appoint a presidential task force on privatization. And one thing that he says in here that just, of course, to me, it was like all lights and sirens and emergency alert. Privatization is now an idea whose time has come. The knowledge, communication, and computer industry can make political representatives obsolete. And when I read that, I thought, holy cow, this is something I have to research. And that set me off onto this path of going back to Ronald Reagan. I've done quite a bit of research on Ronald Reagan, because the whole movement towards privatization really started with him. And as it turns out, a guy named Robert Poole, who works for the Reason Foundation, is the guy who first started using the term privatization to explain the outsourcing of government functions to private companies, whether, regardless of what the function was, whether it's contracting out IT services or street sweeping services or whatever it was, he started calling it privatization. And so that set me off, and I've written three or four things about that line of inquiry.
Okay.
And it started actually with, when Reagan came into office, and I didn't know this, but one of the things that he wanted to do was to create a free trade area from Tierra del Fuego, Argentina, up to Alaska.
Wow. And I wonder whose idea that was.
I would say GE. Because part of the history of Reagan is that in the 1940s, he was the spokesperson for GE.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the 1960s, I didn't realize this, but GE had a computer. And I think that probably GE helped Ronald Reagan become governor of California. Because it was under Ronald Reagan that a project was initiated to begin the consolidation of local governments. And there was a report called The Politics of Change in Local Government that was found by, Maureen Heaton, a lady named Maureen Heaton. And she was an activist in the 1960s trying to maintain local government autonomy from this onslaught that was coming from the governor's office in California, which Ronald Reagan had initiated.
Okay. Now, what was her name?
Her name was Maureen Heaton, H-E-A-T-O-N.
Okay.
T-O-N, I believe. But in her activism, she got a hold of this report called The Politics of Change in Local Government Reform, and it's all about the politics involved and the strategies that are required to change local government, because people don't like change. I mean, that's just the way it is. People don't like
that's for sure.
and so they were trying to figure out, and I'm sure it all had to do with the automation, because what happened in California is that in the 1950s, they just went wild building all of this tract housing. Because after the war, you know, there was the GI Bill, and one element of that was home loans. And so they just went crazy. And I happen to know this because I was a little kid living in the Bay Area, and my parents bought one of those tract homes. And so I can remember, you know, when they were looking at houses, they were basically going out to places that they did have paved streets of the model, you know, where the model home was, but the rest of the place was just all a field. And so anyway, they built all of these homes, and what that did was to eliminate the gaps between all of the little towns. So from Berkeley down to Hayward, California, you had Berkeley, Oakland, San Lorenzo, San Leandro, Hayward, Castro Valley. And these are all little towns that now there's no border between. And if from a systems point of view, it doesn't make sense to have, you know, the seven little governments when you could have one big, more efficient government. You know, but then that's where you get into the politics of people move to a town because they like the character of their town. They want the autonomy. They don't want the intrusion of a big government takeover, which is actually what was occurring.
Wow, that is quite a concept, and certainly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. It depends on how you look at it. If you look at it from a systems point of view, it's efficient. If you look at it from a political point of view, you're looking at collectivization, a takeover, loss of autonomy, loss of freedom. And now,
when was he governor in California? He was governor in the 70s?
1967 to 1975, I believe, 1974.
Okay.
Yeah. And then supposedly he came onto the national scene when he made a speech for Goldwater, you know, Goldwater for president, and it brought him to national attention. He was then governor in California, and then I don't remember if he ran for president in 76. But it seems to me like he was there in the background somewhere. But anyway,
yes.
he then, of course, ran for president in 1980 and won.
And of course, he had all of this. People knew him because of he was a screen actor. He was a movie star. And he had a certain persona of the good guy. And so he was a perfect candidate.
Yeah, he was, but he was an actor. And when he worked for GE as a spokesperson, he worked for a guy named Lemuel Boulware. This guy Boulware was during the war years, he was in charge of war production.
Whoa.
And that included war propaganda. Now, people don't generally think of, you know, the movies, you know, during the World War II time as propaganda, but it is propaganda.
And it was all propaganda, in World War I.
Right.
And the movie stars were propagandists for World War I.
Yes, and Reagan, I don't know when he became president of the Screen Actors Guild. I guess it was after his time of working at GE. But GE, of course, you know, with this guy Boulware, I mean, they were very, very involved in propaganda. And I remember from a class that I took, the professor told us that the propaganda that GE was putting out was basically that what's good for corporations is good for America because it puts people to work.
Yikes.
And at that time, it was true. Of course, they were making war things for war, but the idea of if it's good for a corporation, it's good for America, I believe has been just inculcated into who Americans are. And now they pulled the bait and switch on us and went with this global economy. And so it's no longer true that what's good for corporations is good for America, because those corporations are producing over in other countries. They're providing jobs for people in other countries to import back here. So, but it's hard to get people out of that. It's been so indoctrinated for so long, and I have to say I was a victim of that myself.
Well, sure, we all are, because we see it on the TV all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you hear it all the time. You know, the wealthy people are the job producers. Well, that may be so, but they're not job producers for America. You know, they're invested in the corporations that are creating jobs in China, India, and other places.
Right.
So it doesn't help us a darn bit. So, anyway, so that's the Reagan story, and I really do believe that Reagan was really GE's man in the White House. And
yes.
Yeah, because
now, he joined them joined GE in 1954.
Okay.
And yes, this is interesting. I'm looking at an article called the GE Years. What made Reagan Reagan? And this is very interesting. This is very fascinating to me. I think there's always, you know, I know that that he began the privatization, and it also included the media, where when he came in, there were dozens of dozens of networks, and he started the privatization of that, and basically got rid of the fairness doctrine through the person that he appointed as the chairman of the FCC. I mean, he was a dangerous character, and people laud him as, you know, laud his economic policies and everything, but in fact, he was not very good.
He
was.
Yeah, I voted for him twice, and I have to say that of all the things that I've researched, he is the biggest disappointment to me. Finding out what he did to our country and where it has led us is just, it's the biggest, one of the biggest disappointments in my whole life, actually. But, you know, I bought into the whole persona of Reagan. But what he was actually doing was beginning the process of dismantling our government and privatizing government. Now, if you put that into the context of a global system of governance based on continental boundaries, what you have to do is to eliminate nation states, right?
Yes.
And so that's what the privatization initiatives have been about. It's about disassembling the nation states. And all of the countries in the world are, just about all of them that we read about, they're having the same problems that we do, that we're having. And it's because of the same reason. They are implementing the same programs, the same everything in their country that's being done here. And so it's not going to work out real well, I don't think.
No, not for the people. The corporations will be, it'll be wonderful for the corporations.
Oh, yeah, the Dons of Davos. The Dons, as in Mafia Dons.
Yes.
They meet over in Davos and decide on what their plans are going to be. And the Davos meetings, those started about in 1974, something like that. 72 or 74, I can't remember which. But it was 1,000 of the world's CEOs, business leaders. And they all got together and, you know, were deciding on plans for the world. And I think basically they do control the world at this point.
Sure. All right, we do have to take a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
RBN listeners, by now, most of you have started stocking up on gold and silver to get you through the upcoming economic crisis, and that's good. You're ahead of the crowd. But when the dollar finally fails, as every paper currency in the history of the world has failed, and silver and gold prices are worth hundreds or even tens of thousands of dollars an ounce, do you really expect to be able to easily trade them for basic essentials? With precious metals prices soaring, now may be the time to take a look at copper. For thousands of years, copper was used daily for bartering in the marketplace, and we're guessing we'll need it again, and very soon. Visit AOCScopper.com, the nation's largest private producer of copper medallions, and browse our huge selection. Stock up now while you still have time. That's AOCScopper.com, and use promo code RBN to receive free shipping. Don't get stuck without a practical way to trade. Visit AOCScopper.com and get prepared today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Vicki Davis. Her website is channelingreality.com. And Reagan also was a member of the Pilgrim Society, along with every other president since Theodore Roosevelt. And additionally, every Secretary of State since 1900 has been a member of the Pilgrim Society. He dramatically increased military interventions during his presidency. And didn't he also manage to Well, I know that Ferdinand Marcos donated at least $12 million to Reagan, and some of that money, according to some documented evidence, was used to sabotage Carter's negotiations in his attempts to free 52 U.S. hostages held in Iran until after the elections.
Well, probably, you know, the system that they were building, it's a global system. And so that's why they had all these regional wars. But I can see how Marcos would want to help Reagan, because Reagan's idea was all about the libertarian concept of freedom. And when you hear, and I know this is going to make some libertarians mad, but, you know, don't confuse the philosophy of freedom with the political movement of libertarianism, which has facilitated the disintegration of government, shrinking of government, you know, like Grover Norquist says, you know, shrinking government till it's so small you can drown it in a bathtub. Well, what that does is shift power to the corporations, which ultimately creates a system of fascism in which we all become slaves under a fascist system. So while they market the message of freedom, what they're talking about, freedom from government, means enslavement by corporations.
Right.
So, but one interesting thing that Reagan did, I heard somebody on the other day talking about Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope. I haven't read that book, but what they were saying is that, what Quigley said is that they needed to have the two parties be almost have the same policies, so that the administration of government, the programs of government, could continue on in spite of a change in political party. Well, what Reagan did in 1982, he proposed it in 82, and in 83, it was passed by the Congress. He created an organization called the National Endowment for Democracy. There are four institutional organizations that the National Endowment for Democracy comprise. That is the Republican Institute, an Institute for the Democrats, an Institute for Business, which is the Chamber of Commerce, and the labor unions.
All righty. Vicki, we do have to go to our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID.
Next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make you pay for it. Then your savings